where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
Eric Kanege, SimpleSense.io, kind of scary business. Like, how do we keep ourselves safe from, like, the computers taking over the world, attacking everything, taking over our bombs and
everything? He's almost the anti-AI guest.
Yeah, so tell us what you do and how you got there and how it's affecting us.
Yeah, well, I didn't intend to get into this specific business in cybersecurity, so I have a computer science background, but kind of specialized in solving big problems inside big organizations, so ended up here. I would say it's already happening. It's been happening for years, so it may be scary to find out about it, but there have been nation states attacking each other's electrical grids, and I think there's more coming with the new AI models like Mythos, which essentially, it used to be really expensive to carry out these attacks, and the new AI models are making it very cheap. And so it's going to open that up. Right now, it's kind of locked down, but it's going to open that up to lots of other attackers who now don't need the resources of a state to carry out these kinds of attacks. So it can seem scary. On the other side, there's more talent. There's more people working on the defense side than there are on the attacking side. So, you know, they're probably by an order of there's at least 10 times, maybe 100 times more good people than bad people kind of defending against these things. Technology has created this problem, and there's technology on the side of the defenders too. Our job at SimpleSense is to make sure that in highly regulated industries like the military, where they have all kinds of regulations and paperwork, and you can't just throw a new AI model in or throw, you know, they're still using paper and pen. You go into an operations center and they have a whiteboard with grease pens, and that's how they're making decisions and tracking things. So just bringing them up to modern standards is really our job, is how do you bring modern technology in? Is especially with the cyber threat now, they need those technologies to be able to defend themselves. You've seen in the last year, there have been some hacks, some attacks on water utilities. So there was one at a water utility in Florida, and one of the engineers there, one of the operators there, walked by a computer screen and saw the mouse moving. And somebody had actually, an attacker had actually remoted in and was changing the chemical mixture in the water that was going out to the local community. This is a small utility. I mean, this is a small town. They don't have a big budget. So I think that's where it's going to be scariest, is the customers who don't have the dollars to defend against this and how they respond to this kind of threat as it gets worse.
So who are these hackers and threateners? Did they try to hold the municipal facility hostage for some sort of ransom demand? Or was it just somebody who's was being mischievous and just wanted to see if they could do it? Did they ever find the person who did this?
Yeah, so early on, the attackers tended to be more like hobbyists, you know, people who could do it, and they did it because they could make some money. Now it's nation states. So Iran, Russia, North Korea, the U.S. as well. The U.S. attack, when we went into Venezuela, we took out the electric grid and had other impacts. So that was part of that attack into Venezuela when we took out the former president there. I've actually been surprised that with what's going on in Iran, that more hasn't happened in the U.S. I'm sure there are a lot of things happening behind the scenes that we don't know about. But the fact that there haven't been major disruptions when Iran is one of these sponsors of these kinds of attacks has been surprising to me, because you would think they would throw back anything they could at us. Hopefully that's a good sign that we're able to defend, but
they don't even have to be in Iran to initiate these attacks, right? They could be anywhere. All of the bombing and shooting and everything is not going to necessarily stop those kinds of attacks, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is all software. One of the most significant attacks of the last couple of years, there's a group called Volt Typhoon out that is attributed to People's Republic of China. And what they're doing is using, so like my mom had a business. She had a little Wi-Fi router in her business that she bought 20 years ago, 15 years ago. She's never updating the firmware of that thing. It just sits there. Well, now they're end of life. Cisco isn't even providing updates for them anymore. You really need to tear the things out. Well, people still have them around. And because they haven't been updated, this attacking group, Volt Typhoon, and then there's a bunch of variants off of it, but they use these small office routers as launching points. So because they're so old, they can get right in and then use those to attack local targets. And the problem is if you have a local facility, like a water utility locally, what looks like you're just getting local traffic. It's not coming from China. It's not coming from Russia. So you don't block it because it appears to be local. Well, there's these networks of tens of thousands of these things around the world that now are being leveraged for this kind of attack. So the FBI is trying to get people to remove these, but it's how do you get my mom to like buy a new Wi-Fi router, right? That's a hard problem. So we're going to have to solve problems like that because the attacks are going to ramp up here in the next year.
Well, I have to say that our IT company, I think, is just absolutely nuts on security.
Yeah, they are.
And, I can't use my email because they have email filters. We want to reset a password. It gets caught in the spam filter. They have these really tight controls. But after hearing what you're saying, maybe it's worth it. And as much as it hurts our productivity, I suppose the alternatives are much worse.
That's the problem with good cybersecurity is that if it does its job, it actually just makes your life worse and you get no benefit from it because it's preventing attack. Part of the challenge we face is how do you implement this kind of cybersecurity and these kinds of controls and make the end users' lives better? How do you improve their lives at the same time that you're saying, well, you got to rotate passwords and that's not a good enough password and all of these kind of barriers you introduce.
James, do you have a comment or question for Eric around this topic?
Eric, we are consistently contacted by government agencies for training, you know, simulation models and training autonomous models and those types of things. What I've heard from those folks that we're talking to in those spaces, from a security perspective, the biggest advantage right now for AI in the space is early detection. And wondered if that's, you know, you're in the throes of it, you're at the heart of it, if that's similar to how you're thinking about AI integration in cybersecurity, or is there a bigger aha that maybe I'm not thinking of?
In the space that I'm in, critical infrastructure, like let's say an attacker gets into a water utility, gets in inside a network, gets in an inside view. Well, they have to sit there and figure out where their target is because they didn't necessarily come in with the design of that system. So while they're sitting there, they're probing the network, they've got to look around. So they're throwing off signals that show that are abnormal, that aren't, you know, if they got into a router, then they're talking to other devices in a way that didn't normally happen. So there is a trail there, and that's where AI can be really helpful. I think, James, back to your point, it goes back to, well, what data does that AI or that engine have access to? And so if it's not getting the right data, it's not going to see the right signals. And that's the biggest part of our job is unlocking all of that data, doing that in a way that's still compliant with all the regulations. But how do you expose all that data so now an AI can help a human detect those signals and respond faster? If you respond in the first 7 days of an attack, you have a pretty good chance of preventing that attack once they're on the inside. Some of these attackers, though, they've been in for years and undetected. And so that's where a lot of their risk is.
So what do they do when they attack? I mean, they change the chemicals in the water. They shut down water plants. Do they ever attack like normal people? And
the attacks have been more ransom. So I'm going to take out there was a big food distributor and they got shut down for weeks because attackers got in. It ended up costing them hundreds of millions of dollars to get their systems back. So it has been financial. The shift with nation states involved is that the attacks are happening without an economic benefit. They're happening to sow discord, to disrupt. And again, that's why I'm surprised we haven't seen more with what's currently going on in Iran. But once they get in these systems, they just have to sit there and figure out. And then depending on if their target is economic or just sowing disruption, then as they figure that out, when they're on the inside, then they go after it. But this kind of thing has been happening since at least 2011. So it isn't new. AI will accelerate it, though.
What about the security around LLMs and machine learning? Have there been instances where people have hacked into, say, ChatGPT or Gemini successfully and then been able to distort the logic and the processing?
Yeah, there's been prompt injections. Yeah. I mean, you could throw a website up on the internet and put a bunch of content on it and feed, and then that gets scooped up and fed into the training model. So there's ways to influence it just by posting things online.
Oh. That's why I said I have to keep telling it that old blonde women are smart, too. You influence it by what you put in there, right?
Yeah. And now there's AI training on AI generated content. And so you end up with this weird you can only go so many iterations before it's complete gibberish. Because like I was talking before, mm-hmm. it's really just a math relationship. It's not a logical or emotional relationship between words. So as long as that math is working, it'll keep going. There was a study that came out, and I think it took like four generations of AI training on itself before it was just absolutely nonsensical. So as more and more AI generated content is now out online for marketing purposes, which is an early use case, well, then other AIs are training on that and we're just feeding that machine.
You know, Google Gemini trained on Reddit, and Google did a big deal with Reddit. And you know, Reddit is the Wild West. You can answer any question any way you want on there, and there's no fact checking at all. So that is terrifying.
The language models, it's not about truth or facts. It's about relationships between words. So you have to separate those two things. If you want 100% accuracy, you're not going to get that out of an LLM, but you'll get words that seem related to each other. I think the scary thing for me, so Anthropic came out with Mythos, and if you haven't read about it, M-Y-T-H-O-S, Google it. So they had this all locked down, and they're only sharing it with certain customers and governments. And yet there was an article came out that some like unauthorized people got access to it already. And so it's just like, guys, if you're going to release this thing, then you got to make sure that the access is locked down. Apparently you can get on some forums and figure out ways to get into new models that have been released. And so Mythos is what's able to chain together these different attacks in new ways and initiate, like actually create the cyber attacks that then can be launched against targets in a way that used to have to be done with millions of dollars and lots of people.
SimpleSense.io. Eric Kanagi, what should a normal person be doing now to protect themselves? Is there anything we can do, like a normal user?
Yeah, I mean, I think just awareness, understanding, educating yourself on what's out there and how it works. If you get an email or you get communication, don't take it at face value. Make sure that you're double checking mm-hmm. things. When I have new employees start, they'll inevitably their spouses will get text messages saying, I need to get them a gift card, you know, so don't believe that kind of stuff. People are chaining together public data together in new ways. So yeah, be skeptical and keep learning, and that'll get us through this.
I had a message from somebody about something, and I was investigating. I was talking to this guy, and he's like, go to this website and do this, and then I can take over your computer. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And so I hung up, and he kept calling me back and calling me back because he wanted to take over my computer.
Yeah.
And it looked like
and
a
it's
legitimate
gonna be
Google
voice.
Thing.
So our voices now being out in this podcast, somebody can take that and train a model off of our voices. And so you could get a call and it sounds like it's your son or daughter, and it's not, but they're asking for something. So that's where I go back to human connection. How do we prove our humanity to each other? We're going to have to figure that out.
Eric Kanagi, thank you. Well, how can people find you, Eric?
Yeah, so simplesense.io, or you can find me on LinkedIn.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.